This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Today I have with me Desiree Anderson of Crest Coaching and HR. Desiree seeks to help businesses and individuals thrive through leadership and careers coaching. Welcome to Just Women, Desiree.
Thank you so much, Jo.
It's really great to start with finding out a little bit more about your background. And I know you had a long corporate career before starting Crest, so it'd be great to hear how you got to where you are now.
Oh, thanks. Yes. So I did have a long corporate career, both internationally and in the UK for the last 20 odd years, in HR, working for leading companies. And I worked in HR mainly, but then I started doing a lot of coaching with leaders and their teams and a lot of facilitation too. It was during that time that I decided to form Crest Coaching.
And so I love the name Crest because I think it does sort of bring out so many sort of images and stuff around what the business is about. But can you tell us a little bit about why you decided on the name Crest, what it meant to you?
Absolutely. I'm glad you love the name. That's great that it evokes those visual cues.
Yeah.
The reason that I formed the company and the reason why I called it Crest is I feel that everybody in their lives goes through ups and downs. And during my corporate career, I dealt with a lot of people who were broken, going through lots of transition, change, and needed that support during those various times in their careers and lives in a safe space that was nurturing for them to bring out their inner potential, but also reach their purpose. And that's what Crest is. So Crest is not necessarily just peak performance. It's performance that suits you, a lifestyle and a job that suits you, and being the best you can be for what you want uniquely in your life.
I think that's really interesting because, you know, we always talk about peak performance and performing at the top level. And, you know, it's not always possible to be performing, you know, all at one level all the time, but it's being able to get the best out of the situations that you find yourself in and handle them in the best way, I suppose.
Absolutely. And I think that is really key. So from my observing of the leading companies that I've worked for, I did see a lot of people striving continuously for the peak performance, concentrating purely on the KPIs, but not actually listening to their own self-care and their needs and connecting to their values and the values of the organization. So there wasn't enough congruence in that. Yeah. And I think that when we strive all the time, and especially with comparison on social media and what we feel we should do, we lose sight often of what we want to do. And that's what I help my leaders and my coaching clients do, is really connect in to what they want, but ultimately then perform, but perform doing things that they love.
That's really interesting. And I know that you also help people a lot with building resilience and also avoiding burnout. So how do you help people with that? How do you sort of start to sort of build that resilience and help them to avoid burnout?
Yes, so that comes from a personal experience with burnout. So when I was in corporate, working long hours, being a people pleaser and having limited boundaries, I discovered my own aspect of not always looking after myself. Mm. And so as part of the business proposition, I became a mental health first aider as well to really get under the skin of my understanding of different types of mental well-being and how they present themselves. We all have mental health. It's just that that may vary, and where it becomes debilitating is where it may affect our day-to-day. So helping people with resilience, I first understand where they're at. And I then have a specific formula for helping them starting to develop more self-awareness, firstly, and then self-care, and then setting themselves boundaries and objectives to meet their purpose.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think it is, you know, as you say, it is a step-by-step process, isn't it? You can't just wave a magic wand and solve that. It is rebuilding those boundaries in your life and taking care of yourself, which I think is often the last thing we remember to actually do in any aspect of our life as well.
Absolutely. I think we always think it takes so much time, don't
Yes,
we?
yeah.
But yet we waste a lot of time on the wrong things.
Well, actually, it's funny because you've written a great blog recently about procrastination, which it really made me smile. I loved the tone of it, and I loved what you were saying in there. And I think it was good that you were sort of saying that actually a bit of procrastination is not necessarily a bad thing, and that we should actually probably build into our diary and our time each day some time for procrastination. So tell us a bit more about that, because I thought that was brilliant.
Thank you. I am dealing a lot with self-sabotage at the moment in my clients. And I think in the modern world that we live in, there's quite a bit of that, and having come out of lockdown and having that fear. So self-sabotage and being real is something really at the core of Crest, being authentic to ourselves, not living this life that we feel we should, as I've said before. So the procrastination and the writings that I've done around self-sabotage is to say, let's acknowledge that we will have distractions in our day-to-day life. Let's actually embrace that, take those breaks, and do something meaningful and joyful with that time. But actually then stop punishing ourselves. And it's that inner dialogue, that mindset that we often need help with, where we are punishing ourselves or feeling bad all the time or guilty about stuff that we're doing that actually is just normal and real.
No, it's very true, and we do, you do sort of feel that you've got to be 100% productive the whole day, but I don't think anybody can do that. And then actually just recognizing that and realizing that actually it's okay to take a break and do something. It might seem really trivial, but if it's, helped you relax or clear your mind, then that's all good as well, because that will help the productivity when you're back at your desk. So,
Absolutely. And I think especially with working from home and remote hybrid teams, this is becoming an issue with people feeling very distracted and also having work and home life, having to balance all those responsibilities.
It
So give
has.
yourself a bit of slack and also just have a bit of a structure. I have a method of helping people just to get through their day, but connect into their teams, their managers, and their work in a more effective manner.
Yeah, no, that sounds fantastic. And obviously you mentioned about remote working and hybrid working. I mean, obviously remote working was the big challenge of last year. Now it's hybrid working is going to be the next challenge. So what is your advice with if you're a leader that's having to navigate your way through all of that at the moment? How do you reckon it's best to manage the challenges here?
Yes, so being a leader is a challenging time for all leaders because we're having to go through our own ups and downs and deal with a new way of working, but at the same time, reach out to employees maybe we haven't even met, or employees that may be in different countries that we're not now seeing regularly, that we're not able to lean across the desk and chat to. So that's the issue. So my advice for leaders would be simply to firstly set your own priorities, your own lifestyle, deal with your own self-care, understand your peaks and troughs in the day and your triggers. Then go about connecting your employees to the work values. Find out more about them and where the commonality is between the organization and the employees so that they don't feel just like a robot, like an automated machine, which I think a lot of people are feeling at the moment, that they're plugged into this matrix of the internet. Find ways of getting your team to work without you, collaborate, get their talents shining, because you'll find some people are introverts and battle with Zoom. And so it's very, very important to get to know your people well and then get them bonded and connected together. And then also, don't be afraid to give feedback to employees who aren't performing. Find a way of coaching employees when you do your one-to-ones. But if they aren't performing, it is important to be very gentle, but have a method of giving feedback to those people because you cannot afford for the team to go down. So it's all-time trusted methods of leadership, but now we're having to be better at our game, but also more gentle with ourselves and others.
And I suppose
That would be my tip.
it's adapting, as you say. You've got proven methodologies that you use that you know work, and that you're now being able to adapt them to help people in new situations. So it's just people being able to sort of apply those things across every aspect of the challenges they face at work.
Definitely. And I think the concept of time has changed.
Mm, mm.
Time and work used to be in a set place.
Yes.
It's now no longer.
No.
And that shift is a big shift for our mindsets as leaders.
Yeah.
So it's actually about our attitude and our values as leaders, no matter where we are.
It is so true, isn't it? It has been. I mean, everything has been a whole big change in the last year. You know, as humans, we've all had to cope with change, you know, on varying degrees. And I think as a whole, we're not giving ourselves enough credit for how we have dealt with all of that and come through it. And I'm sure that's even more so with people that are leading teams or running a small business, that you're probably not giving yourself enough credit for how far you've come already, and what you need to do now. It's really interesting. Yeah, so I mean, obviously, there's a lot of things that in the past year that business owners, leaders will have felt were out of their control. What do you think is the best way for them to remain resilient through continued uncertainty, even as stuff starts to hopefully level out a bit? What would you say is the best way? Because a lot of them will be tired as well from having to adapt. What would you say is the best way to sort of build that resilience ongoing?
I think the best way to build the resilience is to recognize that we are now living, let's not paint a rosy picture, in an uncertain world.
Yeah.
And so we do need to understand and prepare for those troughs and not beat ourselves up if the business is going through a tough time, but recognize that we may have gone through or will go through in the future a tough time. How do we get through that is by planning. Now, our plans and our strategies don't necessarily need to be as long-term as they were before.
Yes.
But definitely, I would say a 1 to 3 year plan and strategy, very, very clear mission with the team behind you. If you do have a team, if you're an entrepreneur, which a lot of my clients are,
yes,
just make sure that your mission is very clear to you and very true to you, because people will pick that up. And your customers and suppliers will be with you if they believe in you, but they won't if they don't. And then once you've got your plans, how are you going to measure these? Measures are very important. Mm-hmm. Have measures of your own self-care and put those into your KPIs so that they become a deliverable
for that's really
you
interesting.
And your team.
No, I think that sounds fantastic. And I think actually what you're saying about being really clear about that mission, because if you're really clear about that mission, then when you do need to change direction, you have that constant, and then you can sort of think, well, okay, that's what I want to achieve. I can't achieve it that way because of outside factors, but how else can I achieve it? And I think that is really key. That's fantastic. So obviously I know there's a number of ways that people can work with you. I know that you do face-to-face, one-to-one coaching. You've also got an online course that you're launching as well. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes. So I have a flagship program called Managing Remote Teams, which I actually launched during lockdown, which was very successful.
Yes.
And I've recently also put together a course called Winning Teams, which helps hybrid team leaders collaborate with other leaders whilst on the course, but also develop the mindset of winning, which is an inside job.
Yes.
But also then connecting it to the KPIs and strategies that you need to have as a leader to bring your people on, and dealing most importantly with relationships at work. Collaboration and inclusivity, which is a vital aspect at the moment. So yes, and then we do work with clients one-to-one, from neurodiverse clients right through to senior leaders of teams. So everybody in that space is welcome and will get a nurturing conversation with us, but also co-coaching and group coaching sessions for organizations is something that I do a lot.
No, that sounds fantastic. And yeah, great that people can access these things in different ways. I suppose that's one of the things that the last year has opened it up to a lot of people, to be able to access the services they need in different ways, which is fantastic. So that's great.
So important to be flexible and give bespoke training to clients and coaching.
Yes. Well, yes, because exactly everybody's needs are slightly different. There will be principles and commonalities across them. But, you know, as individuals, we are all different. So it's great that you can tap into that and offer that sort of bespoke offering as well. That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
And so if people want to find out a bit more about all of these services, what's the best way to get in contact with you? Is it best to go to your website?
It's best to go to the website. So yeah. crestcoachinginhr.com or contact me at info@crestcoachinginhr.com. And if you contact me and go onto our mailing list, I can send you the Burnout of Brilliance ebook,
yes,
which I've just written, which has been very well received. So
yeah,
you're welcome to have that.
And that is a fantastic resource. There's so many, you know, there's some really practical exercises and tips that you can work through even within that, that can just get you starting to think about, you know, how you can prevent burnout and come back from it as well. So that's a really good way of getting to know what you do. So that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time today. That's been, again, one of those conversations that I could have gone on forever because it's so interesting to
Me
hear.
Too.
Lovely. So that was Desiree Anderson of Crest Coaching and HR.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.